Hi, this is Mike Chambers. I'm Senior Product Manager for Developer Relations for Apollo, and this is my podcast for April 26, 2006. This is my third podcast I've done. I actually missed last week, and I'm sorry about that. I was really swamped with some stuff going on at work and then getting ready for Flash in the Can in Toronto. So I was up there Thursday through Monday. This is consistently one of the best Flash conferences in the world, I think, and I think you can make a pretty good argument that it is the best. I'm not going to weigh in on that either way, but I'm constantly impressed by the quality of the speakers there, the audience, everyone attending. So it's a really great conference. I did a keynote along with Mike Downey and Sho Kuomoto, and that went really well. It was a lot of fun. I always really like doing keynotes because we get to show off some stuff we've been working on and talk about what we're doing. So it's always a lot of fun. I talked about the Flow application that Christian, Danny, and I had worked on, demoed that, and then just talked about how we built it, how using Flex 2 and the Flex framework made it a lot easier to work on and to version things. And also the way that the framework itself really lends itself to modularization of code. And so we're able to componentize a lot of different parts of the applications. It's really simple. And then that way we could all work on it at the same time and then just and test items individually and then bring them all together at once. And this is something that in Flash and doing development in traditional Flash authoring, something which I've done a very long time, would also always been a little difficult to do because you know, Flash authoring is based on a binary format, a source format, and so managing that single FLA could be problematic in the past. But this is one thing we're really impressed with the Flex framework, was that it made it so easy to modularize stuff, and this primarily because creating custom components in Flex is incredibly simple. And you can, I mean, basically, you can just, if you're creating components that composite other components, then it's just a matter of, you know, creating a separate MXML file that contains that, and there, and you can add your own functions and APIs, but then you basically have a component, an individual piece of code that, you know, can encapsulate all the functionality. And not only does it make development easier because, you know, I can be working on, say, a capsule renderer component while, you know, for Flow, Christian was working on the capsule manager that actually contains all the capsules. And so we can all, you know, we can work on this together. We can test it, but also makes the code a lot easier to manage when you're going through it because you don't have all your code just dumped in one big file, but allows you to modularize it. And in a lot of cases, depending on what you're doing, to reuse it in other projects. So, anyways, so I talked about that using the Flow application. I also talked about Apollo a little, and pretty much just said the same things we talked about at Flash Forward, and that I talked about at WebDU in Sydney. Showed a slightly updated version of the MP3 player that Sho Kuomoto had originally built in Flex, and then I've taken it and you know, moved it to the desktop. I'm not going to talk too much about that today. Talk about that more in a future podcast or blog post and stuff like that. Mike Downey actually talked about Blaze and gave a quick sneak peek of some features we're thinking about. So Blaze is the code name for the next full version of Flash authoring. And we're going to actually be releasing a preview version or alpha version of it in the next month or two, next couple of months actually. That'll have support for compiling AS3. So that won't be a full release. It'll be an alpha version that'll be released on labs. And so Mike talked about that. He also showed some new integration points around Photoshop and Flash integration, the ability to bring in import PSDs and specify how each layer in the PSD is imported in a Flash. So it's really cool stuff. One other thing we talked about and something that was going on outside of the keynote was that we mentioned that we've decided to name the next release of the player Flash Player 9. So traditionally, You know, we don't talk about like release names before it's released, and we usually use code names. So we're talking about Apollo or Blaze. The code name for Flash Player is Zaphod, and so you know, normally we would have just referred to this publicly as Zaphod. Then we don't have to worry about, you know, if we change names during the development process, and this actually happens a lot. But this time, since we're being so public with it, and since we had released it, you know, we're releasing it so early via labs, we decided that we need to, you know, get the name out so people understand what it is, because we may not get a chance to really brand it in the future. So we, you know, we've been referring to it as Flash Player 8.5. However, after thinking about it and talking to people in the community and on the beta list and other customers and users, we kind of, you know, realized that the scale of this release, of this Flash Player release, is so great. The changes are so fundamental and important, and the features going in are so big that it really doesn't make sense to call it 8.5, because it really is a new player. And so we decided we're going to call it Flash Player 9. So you'll see a lot of mention of Flash Player 8.5 online. You'll probably see it on labs, although we'll be updating that, you know, an old blog post. But, you know, moving forward, after Beta 3 is out, which will be out in the next couple of weeks, we will be referring to it as Flash Player 9. And again, the reason is, like, we've pretty much rewritten the virtual machine in the player that runs the, you know, executes the ActionScript bytecode. The old one is still in there, so, you know, old content will continue on, but the new one we've basically rewritten from scratch, really targeting on performance and writing it alongside the new version of ActionScript, ActionScript 3. So we really felt that this, the performance changes, the new AVM and other new APIs and features really justify, you know, calling it Player 9 versus Player 8.5. You know, I really love going to these conferences. I get to meet up a lot with a lot of my friends. All my best friends, you know, are speaking or hanging out. I get to meet tons of new people. And it seems like every conference I get to know some people a little closer. So this time around, met the guys from Big Spaceship. Really cool guys, into video games, which is always, you know, a lot of fun. But they just finished up the DaVinci Code website, project for Google. So they always do really cool stuff. I also got to go to a lot of sessions, although this time I didn't get to go as many as I normally like, because I was really busy with keynotes and sessions and just some other stuff going on. I really wanted to go to Keith Peter's session on manipulating bitmaps in Flash Player 9, or actually Flash Player 8 and 9. But when I got there about 5 minutes late, and I opened the door, and it was just super, super packed. I opened the door and people were actually pressing out because it was so packed in there, so I didn't get to see that. I did get to see some of Eric Natsky's session, and which is, you know, always a treat. It's really cool stuff and makes me realize just how talented some of the people are in the Flash community, doing just amazing, amazing stuff. So that was a lot of fun. I also got to, you know, you get to play around with code, and everyone gets a lot of ideas, and, you know, sitting around you can change ideas off with each other. And so I'd been trying to figure out the new Compute Spectrum API in Flash Player 9. So if you're not familiar with this, Flash Player 9 adds a new API. It's called soundmixer.computespectrum, and basically is what this does is it takes a snapshot of all of the sound playing within the player at the time. So you can do things like, you know, create visualizations or equalizers, things like that. You can get pretty raw information about the sound, a snapshot of the sound playing at the time. So Andre Michel has actually been playing around with this over his weblog and doing some pretty amazing stuff. He'd done kind of this 3D spectrum analyzer. And so I was trying to take that apart to figure out, you know, how to use this API. And I kind of got it down, but he was doing some pretty complex stuff on the visualization side, so I was a little trouble. Luckily, I was sitting next to Grant Skinner in the speaker's lounge, so he explained everything to me, showed how to use it. I actually posted a very simple example this week that shows how to use it, and that shows how to get, you know, normalized values from Compute Spectrum, because normally you're going to get values between -1 and 1, or 0 and 1, depending on how you use it. Anyways, it's a really cool API. I'm working on this MP3 player, and one of the things I really want to do is have a plug-in architecture where you can drop in pre-compiled SWIFs that implement at some interface, or the class inside implements some interface or something. So you can load visualizations into the MP3 player, and that way other people can build visualizations. You can load them in, stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun to play around with. Actually, Andre Michel posted another example this week where it's kind of showing this like compute the sound spectrum radar. And it's the only way I can think to describe it, but I'll put a link up to it on the blog, on the post for the weblog, so you can check it out. It's really cool stuff. The last thing we did, it was actually the first thing we did, last thing I'll talk about at Flash in the Can, was it's on a panel with a couple guys, Shafiq Kazoon, Ted Patrick, Darren Shaw, Sho Kumoto, and Mike Downey, talking about Flash as a platform. And this was actually the very first session of the conference, even before the keynote. So it would have been nice if it was after the keynote, just because we probably could have talked a little more about some of the stuff we talked in the keynote, such as Apollo. But it was actually a lot of fun. It was a really good session. We had a good discussion about not just Flash as a platform, but really the web as a platform. A lot of good input from the audience. One thing that we discussed, which I thought was really interesting, I've been thinking about a lot, was this idea that increasingly we see applications moving to a layer above the desktop. So whether that be via Flex-based RIAs or Ajax-based RIAs moving to the browser, we see things like Apollo coming down the pipe, which is kind of this platform, a layer above the OS. And so one question that came up during the panel was, given this trend to move desktops a layer above the OS, is the OS becoming relevant as an application platform? And so we discussed that, talked about that, and some people brought up some examples. Well, you wouldn't, some apps are moving away from this and moving to a layer above, but you wouldn't want to write a word processor on this layer. And then, of course, someone else pointed out something like Writely, which is an Ajax-based word processor that works online, that has actually done this. And when you consider the functionality that's in Word, something like Microsoft Word, and then the functionality you actually use, you can imagine, you can see kind of even these types of applications that people once thought weren't possible to move away from the desktop are moving to this higher layer. A lot of that has to do with computing power and performance. And actually, I think it was Brian Lesser, mentioned that, or he brought up the example that, well, look, there are some applications that are just going to be on the desktop, so you don't want to do, real-time CAD rendering in a Web 2.0 app or in a Flash app. But the thing is that, and I agree with that today, but I think if you look at trends over the past couple of years, this is really a performance issue. And, hardware is getting cheaper, performance is getting better, the runtimes are getting faster, especially if you look at Flash Player 9, it is significantly faster than past Flash players. And then as these technologies take advantage of hardware acceleration, and Flash Player 8 actually has some limited hardware acceleration on Mac, taking advantage of that, I think that's a trend you'll see us moving, taking advantage of as we go, in the future. Performance really, that's a moving bar, and the types of apps that are performance limited, each year that list is going to get lower and lower as machines become faster and as the runtimes become quicker. So I don't know if the OS is obsolete, but I think it's actually an interesting question. If you look at more and more applications moving away from, this tight integration with the OS and moving to a layer above, and right now it's just simple things like, or more simple things like, photo applications like Flickr. We start seeing like some, Writely desktop, something, a desktop word processor functionality moving to the browser. Anyways, I think it's an interesting question. I think you look as browsers evolve, and especially runtime such as Apollo, it becomes interesting to see how this trend is going to be, and then how, operating system, OS, companies who rely on that, especially Microsoft, but even Apple, like how are they going to, address that? Because that's something that could potentially affect them very strongly. So anyways, I'd be curious to hear what everyone thinks about that. If you have any thoughts on that, just post in your comments or make a blog post and just link back to me. And then maybe we can follow up on it next week. The last thing I want to talk about is I just want to point out the blog of the week. I don't try to do this every week. Point out maybe the Macromedia or Adobe blog of the week. And so this week it goes to Eli Greenfield. Eli set up a weblog at quietlyscheming.com, and I'll actually post the link to this on the weblog for the podcast. But Eli is one of the developers on the Flex framework, incredibly talented, and he's been playing around with creating custom components with using the Flex 2 framework, and really showing, and he's really been trying to show how, Flex isn't just all about, very static applications, but really creating really expressive content. And this actually is something, again, we've talked about in the past when I'm talking about the Flow application, how the Flex framework makes it a lot easier to really style your application and create more expressive content. So Eli's been posting some Flex 2 components that are actually really cool. He has a couple of fisheye components he's posted, all done in Flex, so they're Flex components. And he actually today just posted a 2D fisheye component that brings in a bunch of images, lets you scale around them, things like that. So it's really cool stuff, really useful stuff, not just to, check out the code, see how Eli does it, and Eli's built a bunch of the framework, so it's a good way to learn. But also, these are components you can use. He has them under an MIT license. You can download them, use them, and there's stuff ready to go. So it's really cool stuff. But I think the thing that's really interesting is Eli's really trying to start a discussion about what direction should the framework go in? Like, should we spend more time making it possible to create, more expressive applications, make it easier to style them, and move things around, and create a better overall better user experience. So he's really trying to start a discussion on that and putting these components up as examples. So check that out. I'll post the link on my weblog. But Eli, weblog of the week. I'll have to get a little award or something. So that's all I have for this week. I'm gonna try again. Sorry I missed last week. I'll try to get another one out next week. But just a reminder that this work is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license. And all the links that I talked about today, I'll post on my weblog at weblogs.macromedia.com/mesh. So until next week, thanks a lot. Bye.